I want to thank you for being here this morning. If you'll take your Bibles and open up the book of Matthew, we're going to read a few verses out of Matthew chapter 6. For those that were present last Sunday, you'll remember that we talked a little bit about some of the things that people say that they believe it's in the Bible, but actually they are not. And the first one we looked at, if you will remember, is God will not put on you more than you can handle. And the second thing we looked at was everything happens for a reason. Now these two phrases are meant to give encouragement. They're meant to uplift someone who is maybe struggling in whatever thing that they are concerned with or involved in. Because, you know, it sounds, you know, very pleasing and comforting to know that God is not the type of God that is going to put things on us that is going to cause us to sin or to stumble or to leave him. And it's also a comfort knowing that perhaps there are reasons for things that take place. And there's another passage of Scripture that many times people quote, but they quote misunderstanding. Occasionally people will misunderstand a Bible passage and through that misunderstanding cause themselves perhaps great pain, but also might cause others pain also. In Job chapter 42 and verse 7. It's written, and it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for you have not spoken of me the thing that is right as my servant Job hath. Now Job was suffering. Great calamity had come upon him and his wife. But Job was the one that was affected basically with the boils from the head, from his head to the soles of his feet. But in everything that took place, Job did not sin. In fact, his wife told him to curse God and die. But Eliphaz here and his three friends, all they could see was the fact that, Job, you have sinned. Somewhere in your life, you have done something to make God mad. Job was in great turmoil. And all they done was to even basically pour salt into a wound. Job knew he hadn't sinned, but yet his three friends kept on and on and on. And then we can look at Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. Everybody knows this verse, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. How many have had children that you brought up in the Word of God that are no longer faithful? When someone says here, well, your child is unfaithful, what kind of parent are you? You must have not taught that child correctly, because if you had, they would be here. People feel guilty if their child grows up and leaves. Don't they? Another passage that I would like to add to this list is Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. And I appreciate Brother Mike reading all of what he read. But I don't want to deal with all of that. I just want to deal with Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Paul writes, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your response or your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ." Now, the way that some people have taught this passage may have caused people to feel guilty. Think about that. What did Paul say? Be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. How many people here worry about stuff? Probably pretty much everyone. You know, as we get older, we don't worry quite as much as perhaps someone who's a lot younger. But some way, people have taught this passage that has left many people feeling guilty. So this morning, I would like for us to kind of re-examine this passage that it was not intended to cause angst or anxiety or insecurity. But in reality, this passage, verses 6 and 7, was given to give peace. Now let's take a look at this. Let's take a look at the command. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Be careful for nothing, or be anxious for nothing. If you're worrying, if you're anxious, then you're sinning. You're not obeying God. That's what many people teach. They may not say that in those exact words, but how many times perhaps we've seen someone that's anxious and worried, and what do we say? Well, God's not going to put anything more on you than you can handle, don't we? Or everything happens for a reason. Paul here says, be careful for nothing. If you are worrying, if you are anxious, then you're not obeying God. Now, this passage has often been misused to make people feel unnecessarily guilty. Now, I had to look this up because I did not fully understand this phrase here. There is a figure of speech that's called relative negation. Literally what that means is that when something is stated in the negative, not to totally deny it, but to downgrade it in importance relative to something else. Now, let's see if we can figure that out. It's a mouthful. This phrase here, be careful for nothing. is basically what's known as a relative negation. It's been deliberately downgraded. Because what does he say next? But in everything by prayer. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. In other words, Paul, he's not totally forbidding worrying, being anxious. Paul did not say here, it is commanded that you not worry. It's commanded by the Word of God that you should not, that you better not, you had not worry, because if you do, that's not what he says. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. He's downgrading the importance of worry because prayer is greater. Does that make sense? Prayer is greater than your worry. Consider this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17. Paul says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of non-effect. Now, this is the relative negation. Paul is not downplaying. He's not saying that baptism is not important. He's saying what's important is I'm here to preach the gospel. Baptism is important. But for the Apostle Paul, his job was to preach the gospel to the Gentiles and to some Jews. That was his job. His job wasn't to baptize. He did a few people. But many people saying here that because Paul does not care about baptism, the baptism is not important. No, that's not what Paul is saying. He's saying, I've not come to baptize. I've come to preach the gospel. All right? Consider this. John chapter 6 and verse 27. Labor not for the meat which perish, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for he hath God the Father unto you, for he hath God the Father sealed. Now, does Jesus say here that we are not allowed to eat meat? No. He's not saying. He's saying, labor not for the meat which perishes, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Again, this is that relative negation. He's downgrading the physical eating of meat to the meat of the gospel, the meat of God's word. He's not saying that we should not eat meat. He's saying, but what's more important is the meat of God's word. Again, Jesus is not saying that we must not eat meat, but it is less important than the word of God. The point of this passage of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, the point of this passage is not forbidding us from being human and having human emotions, but it is to offer us something better. than worry. And that's prayer. Let's look at this again. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Paul here is giving us an alternative. He's giving us an alternative of worrying and prayer. He said, yeah, you know, don't really be anxious. Don't worry. But you know we're human, aren't we? And Christ knew that. God knows that. God knows that our emotions sometimes overwhelm us. He's saying, don't be anxious for all of that. Instead, pray. Instead of being anxious, Paul offers an alternative, prayer. Now look at the scope of prayer. But in everything, that's the scope. In everything, prayer. Nothing is too small to bring to God. You know, too many times, many people believe that, you know, my insignificant little problem, God doesn't worry about that. God doesn't care. You know, do you realize that there are people that truly do believe that God does not care about his puny little human problems? But Paul says here that be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Is not this a comforting portrait of God? That we can literally go to God in prayer with all of our anxiety and our cares and our worry and our desires and our wants and our needs. That God's going to listen. Look at the method again. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. This supplication literally means to ask or to beg. To ask or to beg. We need to note that this begging, this asking, is to be joined with thanksgiving. Well, John, how can I be thankful when I'm in so much anxiety? How can I be thankful when things have really weighed down on me? Well, prayer. Thanking God for being alive. Thanking God for all that you do have. And asking, you know, God to show you through his word how to handle whatever the situation you might find yourself in. Worry. That's something that we do thinking about something that may happen, and it rarely ever does happen, or something that's already happened and we have no control over why it happened. The method by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving is to be joined with thanksgiving, being thankful. And look at the direction that's being talked about here. Let your request be made known unto God. We are instructed to pray. In fact, Jesus tells us to pray. Matthew chapter 6. Start reading in verse 9. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts and as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Jesus tells us that we are to pray. And he gives us an example of our prayer. Look at this prayer here. He says, after this manner, pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. How great, how glorious is the name of our Father. Do we pray? Jesus here praying about the kingdom, the church. Do we pray for the church? Do we pray for Jesus coming the second time in judgment? Do we pray and give thanks for our daily bread, our daily necessities, the things that we need to survive? Do we pray about forgiving others? When someone wrongs us, do we demand them to apologize? Or do we go to God in prayer and forgive them as we have been forgiven? Do we pray to not be led into temptation, to give us the strength and the courage to overcome, to deliver us from evil? Do we pray about those things? Do we pray when we're anxious and we're worried and we're concerned and when the world seems to weigh down on our shoulders? Do we pray and give thanks to God? Why would we want to pray to any other individual other than God, our Father, through his Son, Jesus Christ? And now look at the results. Look at the results of what takes place when we pray over our worries. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Jesus Christ. The peace of God, that peace will guard our hearts and our minds. No, it's not going to magically erase our worry and our concern and our stress and the weight of the world. It's not going to simply wipe that all away. But what it is going to do, it's going to give us peace, knowing that God, our Father, is there. And he's concerned about our feelings, our worry, our concerns. There is real peace when we know that God is with us and he knows what we are going through. Do you believe? I mean, this is the question. Do you believe that God knows what we're going through? Do you truly believe that? I'm afraid many times people forget that. God knows our feelings. He knows our concerns. He knows what worries us. And that gives us strength and hope, because we know that God will never abandon us. When everything else falls apart, God is there. Brothers and sisters, in our moment of anxiety, Paul tells us to pray. And when we do, we can find peace through Jesus Christ. Let's not overlook this power and this blessing that has been given to us, God's children. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in all things, pray. If you're here this morning and if you're in need of prayer, for whatever the reason may be, we'd ask that you'd come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
Hear the sweet voice.